herself as the world's only consulting reptile detective. Clients had been thin on the ground to start with, but word had eventually got around that if you had some queer business that needed sorting, if the official channels and the police could provide no succour, then Madame Vastra was your woman. Or your late Cretaceous reptilian life form whose people had been the original rulers of Earth, if you want to split hairs. But the Crimson Aura was a matter quite unlike any other we investigated. It really began with... Oh, hang on, though. No, there was another case. A case that come first. Back in 1888, before old Straxy was with us. And we didn't know it at the time, but it was sort of connected. It was a strange business, all the good ones are, involving some of the highest and some of the lowliest in the land. And it was the case where I first clapped me peepers on the Doctor, having only heard of him by repute, as it were. So, if you've a moment or two to spare, and you're tucked up in bed or by a nice blazing hearth with a glass or three of Madeira, I'll tell you all about it. I'll fill in the bits what I wasn't concerned with in a sort of authory way, like Conan Doyle does or Dickens did or that other one that Madam likes who was a lot odder and always poorly. Your game? Chapter the First, City of Dreadful Delights. Being the reminiscences of Miss Jenny Flint, lady's maid of Paternoster Row, London. The year 88 furnished us with a series of cases of greater or lesser interest. This is me, you see, coming over all authory. Spring brought us the matter of Miss Gregory's disgrace, and then the business of the man with the manganese teeth, while all through the summer we was hard at it on the curious affair of the sentient Battenberg. After these exertions, Madam had been all for a little holiday in Margate, when an evening stroll through the streets of Whitechapel changed everything. Outside the Pomegranate Music Hall, or the Old Pom as we always called it, a bustling, lopsided deer of a place that occupied the corner of Newark Street and Stepney Way, posters was plastered all over the slimy brickwork. One such stood out above all. Cupid's Frolic, a musical mixture with beautiful scenery and charming effects. Miss Florrie Booth, the Jolly Jacktar, with a little bit of scrimshaw in me hand. All Britannia Aptitude Contest at the Pomegranate Halls, every night at 8 under the stewardship of Mr. Gideon Mortlock. By the merest chance, the mistress and me happened to be walking past the Old Pom that night, strolling back towards the underground arm in arm after we'd been to a meeting of the Fabians. We was full of excited chatter about the new world what we was going to help build, of the fairer and more just society that Britain would become, and of what a looker that Annie Besant was, who had been speaking with such passion at the town hall meeting. That was when we heard the cry that all people dread, unless you're us. For this particular cry is often the call to adventure. Murder! Oh, God! Murder! Madam turned to me and I could see her eyes gleam even through her every black veil. Murder, she said. I smiled, a little guiltily. No doubt, horrible. Let's have a gander. Could be a juicy one. Madam sighed theatrically and put her hand to her breast. Ah me, there speaks the modern world. Then she hitched up her skirts and pulled me forward. Come on, then. The cry of murder rang out again and we followed it to a small alleyway round the back of the hall. A very young copper, with one of them smooth blushing faces that boys only ever have at that age, was standing in the shadows, his bullseye lamp held in one gloved hand. A small crowd had gathered round him, including a toothless crone, who turned her wrinkled face away from whatever lurked there in the dark. And what the lamplight revealed was a corpse. A corpse without a head. The copper looked at what his lamp revealed.